Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable with Lynn Richardson. I am your host, and this is WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, my favorite radio station. Now, let's get the housekeeping out of the way earlier. Guess what we are doing? We are creating millionaires, one family at a time. One day at a time, $1 at a time, one dime at a time, if that's all you got. Doesn't matter where you start. What matters is that you get on the path, and I'm going to help you finish. We are excited today. I have really a controversial topic. I'll tell you about that in a few moments. But before I get started, I want you to know how to reach me, how to tell other people how to get to me. Go to LynnMillionaire.com. If that's too difficult, because people are saying, I don't know how to spell millionaire. I don't either. Does it have two L's, two N's, two R's, one R? I don't know. You can go to LynnRichardson.com and click on the Millionaires Roundtable logo and you'll get to me, because I want you to be able to listen live right here at WVON. Anywhere in the country, anywhere on the planet, you can get this information. We are so excited. You know, I start off each section or each show with a word of wisdom. And my words of wisdom come from scripture. I am the author not only of Living Check to Monday, the real deal about money, credit, and financial security, but I am also the author of Living Beyond Check to Monday, a spiritual path to wealth and prosperity. And I had gotten so sick and tired of my own self that I decided to just read the whole Bible and then find all the scriptures relating to money and investing and saving and lending and borrowing. And I did that. And unlike my first book that I wrote in a weekend, the spiritual path to wealth and prosperity, it took me over a year to write this book, because it's a process. It's not a book that you read. It is a book that you do. And so one of the scriptures that comes to mind for today's discussion comes from Proverbs 31 and 16. And it essentially says, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. So today's million-dollar topic, the million-dollar topic of the day, is to co-sign or not to co-sign. That is the question. Now, controversy has already started all over social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. We posted the topic and people started going in right away. And of course, it was a unanimous no. No, don't co-sign. Nobody should co-sign. Nobody should ever co-sign. Don't co-sign. I got burned co-signing. I co-signed for my cousin. I co-signed for my daughter. It seems like there was no discrimination in the co-signing policing field. People don't trust anybody. Don't trust your mama. Don't trust your daughter. Don't trust your friend. Don't trust your colleague. Everybody is saying no to co-signing because, of course, most people have either been burned in this situation or know somebody who has been burned. So if that is the question, then I guess my job today is to supply you with the answer. To co-sign or not to co-sign? That is the question. And my answer is, drum roll please, everybody. My answer is maybe. I'm not going to say no. Let me tell you why. Because the first thing that comes to mind for me when figuring out how to help us all answer this question about co-signing, it's co-signing an individual thing? Is co-signing a sign of being irresponsible? Is co-signing something that is only reserved for people who have not done what they're supposed to do, who can't get anywhere financially, who won't go to the next step? Or is co-signing something that pretty much is universal? And after researching this and really understanding what co-signing is on a global scale when it comes to your money, what I discovered is this. If you have ever owned anything and you could not pay for it at the time you received it, let's say your car, let's say it's your house, let's say back in the day, if you went down to the grocery store and, you know, we had community stores back then and you couldn't pay. Well, guess what? If you've ever been in a situation where you couldn't pay for something, then to a certain extent, someone has co-signed for you. Someone has guaranteed that you're going to pay this bill. Someone has pledged collateral. Someone has signed an instrument on your behalf. Now, you may not know that it's taken place, but it certainly has happened. And so when I think about this scripture, it says, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. So what it's saying to me is you may want to co-sign. You just don't want to co-sign for a stranger. Now, let me help you define who a stranger is. A financial stranger is someone who you do not know financially. You have not seen their bank account. You probably have not looked at their credit report. You probably do not understand their spending habits. You may know that they don't have any money, but you don't know what led to them not having any money. You may know that they can't get the car or the house or whatever it is they're trying to buy, but you don't know why. So if the stranger is the key adjective for the kind of person or the kind of situation you shouldn't go into when it comes to co-signing, well, then let's take the stranger out of it. So if you're going to co-sign, just make sure you're not co-signing for a stranger. Now, let me help you understand something. A stranger is not simply someone you know. You could have a son or a daughter and they still could be a financial stranger. You could have a best friend and that person could still be a financial stranger. Because once again, you need to be familiar, aware, and potentially in control of that person's behavior, in control of that person's cash flow. You should have familiarity with it. You should have access to it. So when we are talking about this issue, to co-sign or not to co-sign, that being the question, well, my answer is maybe. And I'm going to help you figure out how to make that maybe a no or how to turn that maybe into a yes. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. And I'm going to help you create yourself a millionaire situation because we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, one dime at a time, $1 at a time, and we're doing it right now. So let's talk about one of the biggest co-signers. I'm just going to share with you one. There's an organization called the Government National Mortgage Association. The nickname is Ginnie Mae. And if you walk into a bank today or if you call a mortgage a professional, you contact a loan officer and you do not have 20% to put down on a home. So if it's a $100,000 house, you'd need $20,000. If it's a $200,000 house, you'd need $40,000. If it's $1 million house, you'd need $200,000. If you don't have 20% to put down, let's start there, and a credit score in most cases of at least 660, 680 or higher, ideally it should be 720, then chances are you're going to need a co-signer. And that co-signer is Ginnie Mae. And Ginnie Mae essentially makes it possible for the bank to lend you money under less than desirable circumstances. So if you're co-signing for someone, then you are making it possible for them to get access to money that they are borrowing under less than desirable circumstances. So if you have an FHA mortgage, if you have a Fannie Mae mortgage, if you have a Freddie Mac mortgage, if you have a VA loan, if you have any of these instruments, then guess what? Someone has co-signed for you. And I'm going to tell you the terms under which the co-signing takes place. I'm going to tell you how to measure it for yourself. If you are approached by a family member or a friend or a colleague to co-sign or not to co-sign, that is the question, but the answer isn't that simple. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, The Talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. If you got some credit issues, I want you to go to LynnMillionaire.com. Click get help. If you're looking to buy a home, go to LynnMillionaire.com because we still have our $10,000 first time home buyer getaway. If you are trying to get to the next level financially, go to LynnMillionaire.com because we're going to take a short break right now. We have news, traffic, and weather with Annette Flournoy, but we will be right back after the break. Don't turn that dial. It's WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. $1 million topic of the day is to co-sign or not to co-sign. That is the question. And my answer is a resounding maybe. Right before the break, you hopefully learned that if you've ever gotten something and you could not pay for all of it when you got it, then in some way, shape, or form, someone or some entity has co-signed on your behalf. So we don't want to co-sign for strangers. So you should get familiar. So the first issue is understanding that co-signing is something that's happened universally. It's not just between two people, although it has a stigma attached for being a transaction between two people. So now let's take it to the streets. Let's take it to the two people. The first thing that you want to assess if you are going to decide if you're going to co-sign for someone, you got to ask the question, can you pay? Can you pay for this? Now, let's be real. One of the reasons why people need a co-signer, for example, your daughter or your son or your brother or your sister can't get a car, although they need a vehicle to get to work, but they don't have a job, so they don't have income, but they're asking you to co-sign. The question is, can they pay? Do they have a stream of income? Have you seen that stream of income? Or are they just telling you? Most times, when someone comes and asks you to co-sign for something, your emotions get involved. You feel sorry for the person. You feel guilty about not helping. You believe in them. Well, let me tell you something. Belief doesn't pay bills. Math is an exact science. 1 + 1 = 2. And if that person only has half of one, then they're never going to get enough to get the two that's going to be required for the payment. So here are some things that you should review and or assess the next time someone comes and wants you to co-sign for something. Ask for their bank statements. This is what Ginnie Mae does. If you go into the bank and you cannot produce 20% to put down on a house, and or you have had some trouble paying your bills in the past, well, let's just start with the payment portion of it first. First of all, the bank is going to ask you for your paycheck. So you should ask to see the person's pay stubs. If they don't have a paycheck, then chances are you probably should not co-sign. What if the person is self-employed and they don't get a paycheck? Maybe they have a contract and they're going to get X amount of dollars in a month and another set X amount of dollars in 2 months, or they're going to get some disbursement in 4 months. Then you should see the contract. And not only should you see the contract, you should ask for a verification of that contract. Perhaps you're going to speak to the person who issued the contract. Perhaps you are going to review the payment documents. If a disbursement has already been made, you want verification of the wire transaction. You want some assurance that the person can pay. If you're going to co-sign, can they pay? Now, here's what you should not measure. Can they pay? Bye. If they wear nice clothes, that is not an indication that they can pay. That just means that they've got nice clothes. Maybe they have a credit card somewhere. Maybe that they've got a sugar mama or sugar daddy, somebody supplying their clothing. I don't know what the case may be, but do not be fooled by appearances. If they live in a nice apartment, do not assume that because somebody lives in a nice apartment or they have nice furniture that they can pay. Because let me tell you what happens when people come to you and they want you to co-sign. Typically, they're going to present the best of their situation. They're going to say, you know, I'm good for it. How many times have you heard that? You know, I'm good for it. You see them driving a nice car. You see them apparently doing well. You see them going out, having meals, eating, paying for things. You see them taking their children on vacation or going on trips. None of that means anything when it comes to the can you pay situation. So, here's the problem. When somebody comes and asks you to co-sign, or somebody comes and asks you to borrow money, what typically happens is if you ask them questions, they get offended. Guess what? If they get offended, then there's probably something that they're hiding, and you may not want to go down that road. Remember, the word says, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. And if that person is a financial stranger to you, if you have not seen their method of being able to pay not only the bill that you're expected to co-sign, but any of their other bills, then trouble could be in store for you. Here's what happens if you go into the bank and you do not have 20% to put down, or you do not have the long-term credit history, or maybe there were some issues in your credit history. When the bank asks you for your pay stubs, I know when I bought my first house, when they asked me for my pay stubs, I was happy to give them. Okay, where are they? How many do you want? You only need 4? I got 8. You know, I wanted to prove that I was worthy of this mortgage. I wanted to prove that I was worthy. So if someone comes to you and asks you to co-sign for them, the first thing you should ask is, can they pay? Now, what's closely attached to can they pay is will they pay? You want to take a look at their credit report. I'm sorry. That's just what it is. And let me tell you something. Don't pull up a credit score. Don't go to the My Free Credit Report. Let me tell you where you should go. You should go to myfico.com. Someone is asking you to co-sign for a car for $30,000 or $50,000, and it's a $500, $600, $700, $800 monthly payment, then you need to take a look at that credit report yourself. Typically, if the person goes to a lender to get approved for some kind of a loan, that lender cannot give them the copy of the credit report that they pulled. Let me repeat. If you go into the bank and they pull your credit report, you cannot walk out of the bank with the credit report that they pulled. You can go order your own credit report and you can get a copy of your credit report for free, particularly if you are denied credit, but they cannot give you that credit report. So if you are considering co-signing for someone and you have now assessed that they can pay because they've either got a paycheck coming regularly and you can see their other bills and you know that they're not going to be overextended, you're going to assess that just like a bank would. Now you want to know, will they pay? Do they have the inclination to pay? You want to take a look at that credit report. You go to myfico.com. It's going to cost you somewhere between, or cost them, because this is not your expense, it's theirs. It's going to cost them somewhere between $30 and $50 to get a 3-bureau credit report. And you're going to see what's been reported on all 3 credit bureaus, because you don't want to fall for this trick. You don't want them to give you the credit report that's the best, because one credit report may have items on it, and another credit report could not report those items. Let me tell you why. Because when a lender decides to lend money to someone, they may choose to report that credit to no credit bureaus, to 1 credit bureau, to 2 credit bureaus, or to all 3. So if you are assessing if the person can pay, and now you have graduated to will they pay, you want to take a look at all 3 credit reports. Now, this is a lot of work. So this is now your cousin or your sister or your mother or your daughter or someone coming to you saying, listen, can you co-sign for this car? I need a vehicle to get to work. Can you co-sign for this house? I need to live here, there, or anywhere. And now you get into all this paperwork. Let me tell you, the truth is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. This is WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago. We are creating millionaires one family at a time. I'm so excited about it. You can listen anywhere at LynnMillionaire.com, at WVON.com. So you don't have to have a radio sitting on top of the television. You know how it used to be at grandmama's house back in the day. They had the radio sitting right on top of the TV or sitting on the side of the cocktail table or somewhere in the house. We don't have that anymore. Not most of us don't have that. But you can listen on any device that you have. You can listen on your mobile phone. You can listen on your computer. You can listen on your iPad. You can listen on your tablet. Anywhere, go to LynnMillionaire.com. Click Listen Live. Follow us at Lynn Millionaire. All over social media. Ask questions. Email us. Go to the website. Click Contact Lynn or Get Help from Lynn. Whatever it is you have to do, get the help that you need, not only from me, but from members of Lynn's List. These are financial professionals all over the country who are committed, but not only are they committed to helping you create your millionaire situation, but they are trained, vetted, education, they have integrity. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable, and we are back with the million-dollar topic of the day. To co-sign or not to co-sign, that is the question. And although everybody all over social media is saying no, my answer is maybe. So first of all, we had to establish that everybody has been co-signed for if you have ever bought anything and you could not pay for it all when you got it. The second thing we had to establish is, can they pay? Can they pay and will they pay? You need to take a look at bank statements, pay stubs, W-2s, tax returns, look at their debit card, look at their spending over the past 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days, look at their spending diary, because usually, in most cases, if someone cannot get a loan on their own, it's because of one or two reasons. Either A, they don't have the income, or B, they have messed up their credit. That's usually the situation. If they don't have the income, I want you to consider this. There's a common program that I talk about often when I'm sharing with parents how to help defray their education costs. It's called the Kitty Condo Program. And under the Kitty Condo Program, your college student can actually purchase a piece of property, a single family home, a condo, or a townhouse, typically near a college campus, because college students move off campus, they get four or five roommates, and they pay somebody rent to the tune of $700 or $800 a month, 10 months out of the year. What I'm suggesting is that you do the Kitty Condo. Most parents are going to pay $7,000 to $8,000 a year for room and board. If you take that same $7,000 or $8,000, you may be able to take half of that, put it down on a reasonably priced property. Your mortgage payment is going to be about $1,200. You're going to have four or five roommates paying $700 to $800 each. You do the math. You've got somewhere between $2,800 and $3,600 or more coming in. You've got a mortgage payment of $1,200 going out. So now your college student is not costing you money. Your college student is making money. Well, your college student can get approved for this program. It's an FHA loan program. It's called the Kitty Condo, and they need a family member as a co-signer. So in this particular case, co-signing is perfectly okay. Absolutely. It's not that your college student is ineligible for payment because of some flaw. They're ineligible for payment because they don't have a job and they're in school. And so you are working together as a family to get them to the next level financially, but also to get yourself to the next level financially. So in this case, you are making a wise business decision. I don't want us to take the term co-sign, and because there are so many bad circumstances or outcomes that come from co-signing, I don't want us to take that and turn the entire co-signing process into something that is terrible. No, you can make a wise decision and do participate in a co-signing situation that could help everybody win. So here's the issue, though. Once you establish can they pay and will they pay, the next thing that I want you to take a look at is your backup plan. What if they don't pay? What if something happens? What if in the situation where you co-sign for someone who has a job, what if they get laid off their job? They had every intention to pay. What if their check gets garnished? What if you co-sign for some young man and later on his check gets garnished for child support that you didn't know about? You did everything you were supposed to do. He is not a financial stranger. You've looked at his tax returns, his pay stubs, his bank statements. You've assessed the entire situation. He had good credit, but for some reason, maybe he couldn't get approved. Maybe he didn't have a long enough credit history. Someone could have good credit, but not have a long enough credit history. So getting a loan on their own, it may require that they have a 25% APR or interest rate. But with a good co-signer, they may be able to get a 3% interest rate. Well, what happens if something changes in their financial situation? What happens if they lose the income? Do you have a backup plan? Well, in my earlier example, I talked about Ginnie Mae. The Government National Mortgage Association provides Federal Housing Administration FHA insurance. There's insurance. So if you walk into a bank and you apply for a mortgage and you don't have 20% to put down, and or your credit history may not be excellent or there may be some blemish in your credit history, then yes, they may grant you a loan if you meet the criteria and you are no longer a stranger to them. They know you very well. They know your job history. They know that you can pay. Well, if something happens and you don't pay, then there is something called mortgage insurance. Insurance is put in place to compensate the person who loses in the event of some kind of a loss. So life insurance compensates the beneficiary if a person who has life insurance loses their life. Automobile insurance is put in place in the event that there is a loss. So in this circumstance where co-signing is on the table, I'm going to say, what's your insurance? Do you have a backup plan? Because if you co-sign for someone and they don't pay, then guess what? They're coming for you. That's right. They're knocking on your door. As a matter of fact, if you co-sign for someone and they don't pay, and let's say they discharge the debt in bankruptcy, that doesn't mean you are not still liable for payment. That lender could still come after you. So what is your insurance? Do you have the money to pay the bill in the event that the person cannot pay? Now, for the great majority, I would say 99.9999999% of these catastrophic co-signing situations, the reason they become catastrophic is because the person who you co-sign for can no longer pay, and neither can you. I would say my maybe becomes a definite no. If you do not have a backup plan in place to pay this debt in the event that it goes bad, then you want to really put the halt on this whole co-signing situation. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, my favorite radio station. I am your host, Lynn Richardson, and together with Lynn's List, my team of colleagues across the country, we are creating millionaires one family at a time. And a part of becoming a millionaire is making sure you don't get tied or encumbered to someone else's debt. So if your cousin comes and asks you to co-sign, you need to ask yourself, is it a stranger? Is this person a stranger? Can they pay? Will they pay? Do I have a backup plan? If your daughter comes and asks you to co-sign, you need to say, is this person a financial stranger? Can they pay? Will they pay? Do they have a backup plan? If your business partner comes and asks you to co-sign, you need to say, is this person a financial stranger? Can they pay? Will they pay? And do they have a backup plan? What I'm saying to you is take the emotion out of it. Don't start feeling sorry for the person. Don't let your guilt push you into a decision. Don't let them guilt you into, hey, well, you've got the money, you should do it. Don't even let this scenario guilt you into co-signing for someone else. Perhaps someone co-signed for you when you were down and out and you did the right thing. Do not assume that because you did the right thing, that that is an automatic license for you to co-sign for someone else. The next person still needs to pass the criteria. Thank God for the grace and the mercy that you had and that you did the right thing, because that's the other thing. People say, well, somebody help me, I'm going to help somebody. Yes, we should help each other if we can. However, you should not be guilted into helping someone simply because someone helped you. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, my favorite radio station. Go to LynnMillionaire.com. Follow us on social media at LynnMillionaire. Tell me what you think about this, to co-sign or not to co-sign. That is the question. Remember, everyone has had a co-signer. If you ever went somewhere and you couldn't pay for the whole thing, somebody somewhere vouched for you, you signed something, and then you promised to pay. And if you did not pay, somebody somewhere down the line had to suffer for it. That's the situation with you as an individual co-signer. And so you've got to go through the same steps with this asker, because that's what we're calling them. It's an asker. It's no longer your daughter. It's no longer your aunt. It's no longer your mom. It's no longer your dad. It's no longer your best friend. It's no longer your BFF. It's no longer your boo. Let's get to that. Co-signing for a boo. You just met somebody last week at the club or 3 months ago at the club, or 6 months ago at the club. You fall in love and everything is wonderful. Now, you're not married yet. You ain't talking about that. But for some reason, that person is down on their luck and you're feeling so good and you're feeling so sorry and you're feeling so sad for them. And you say, hey, I'm going to co-sign for you, or I'm going to let you use my credit card. Let me tell you something. That is a recipe for disaster. If you are all caught up in your feelings, if you are all caught up in emotions, as you know, I'm the financial expert for the Steve Harvey Show. And I was just watching a clip of Steve just the other day. And someone got up and asked Steve a question and basically said, this guy and I have been dating for the past 6 months, and he asked to borrow some money, or asked, you know, and I co-signed for this. And now that I'm asking for the money to pay the bill, I can't find him. He's offended. Now he won't return my calls. Let me tell you something. Everybody's feeling good when the good is feeling good. But when the good ain't feeling good no more, people forget who you are. So I want you to think about this. And I don't want you to just say no, because you may be missing out on a good business opportunity. But I also don't want you just saying yes just because. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, my favorite radio station. I am your host, Lynn Richardson, and I'm still creating millionaires one family at a time. That means you, you, and you too. I don't care if you're male or female, black or white, tall or short. Guess what? We are all in this together, and it's a money thing. It's a financial thing. It's a wealth building thing. It is a generational issue, and we are going to reverse the curse of approaching a zero net worth as a community of color, and we are going to get back on track. And today we're talking about a hot controversial topic. It's all over social media. People have hit me, inboxed me. They are commenting on the post on Instagram and Facebook. And the $1 million topic of the day is to co-sign or not to co-sign. That is the question. And up until this point, I have said maybe. I've asked you to take a look at the situation and assess it for the business transaction that it can be. But right now, I'm going to tell you some times when you should absolutely say no. I don't care what is going on. If this is what you are faced with, then the answer is no. Here are the times when you should never co-sign. One, if you are in a relationship, and I am talking about a love relationship with someone whom you are not married to, the answer is no. Now, even if you're married to the person, the answer may be no. But if you are in a love relationship, if you are in a relationship with someone whom you are not married to, the answer is no. Unless for some reason, and this is a really small unless, you are in a legal business transaction or in a legal business partnership, you have signed paperwork, you have looked at the other person's financial situation, maybe you have decided to collaborate on a business venture and you've decided to go 50-50, and one person's credit is going to get the capital or whatever the case may be, but you have an entry plan, you have an exit strategy, you have a business plan, you have sat with your financial coach and or your financial advisors, you have drawn up the legal paperwork, and you are in that situation, then maybe. But if you are just running around, going to the movies, coming home, doing a do, you know what I'm talking about, whatever it is that you're doing, I'm not judging that. And you have decided that the person, you love them so much and they need X, Y, and Z, the answer is no. And if you are married to someone, that does not mean you need to put both names on everything. I'd say all the time, don't put all of the assets in two names. You may decide to put the house in one name, the car in another name. The reason why is because if there is a financial catastrophe, if there is an upset in the economy, if somebody loses a job and one or more of you can't pay the bills, if everything is in everybody's name, then everybody's going down and everything is going down. But if you've just got the house in one person's name and something goes bad, potentially you will be in a situation to get another house in the other person's name. So if you're not married, do not co-sign unless you are in a legal, structured, planned, well thought out business relationship with an exit strategy. The answer is no. Here's another time you should not co-sign. If the person does not have a job, the end. If somebody's coming to you saying, I'm going to get a job, well, then you are going to consider it maybe when the job happens. If somebody tells you, I've got a real good deal happening, it's coming. I got faith. Let me tell you, they say faith without work is dead, but you're going to have to go work for this faith. Okay. The answer is no. If they don't have a job, you can't co-sign. Come on now. That should be real simple. And I'm talking this way because I've had people who have reached out to me for help. They're trying to figure out how to get something off their credit report because they co-signed for somebody and the person didn't pay. And I asked them a question. Well, did they have a job? Well, no. They said they were going to get a job. They would, no. The answer is no. If they do not have a job, if they do not have a way to pay this bill, the answer is no. Now, let me be clear. I didn't say if they don't have an income, okay? Because they may have an income. I said they need to have a job. Perhaps the person is getting child support. I'm going to tell you no, don't co-sign, because you don't know if that child support is going to continue. I know you don't know if a job is going to continue, but I don't want you co-signing for someone based on somebody else's independent actions that could affect them. A job is more likely to be consistent and pay if the person is going to work the job and go there. Meanwhile, you may want to ask, what are your work habits? While you are assessing if this person is a financial stranger or not, I'm going backwards just a minute. Not only do you need to see their pay stubs, you need to ask, what kind of employee are you? Do you have a chance of getting fired soon? As a matter of fact, you may want to look at their resume and their job history. Because if you are co-signing for someone who has a paycheck, but they got a new job every 2 months, you might want to reconsider, okay? So you do not want to co-sign if you are in a love relationship with someone and you're not married to them. You do not want to co-sign if the person, doesn't have a paycheck, doesn't have a job. You do not want to co-sign if the person has any of the following. If their paycheck is being garnished, if someone is coming after them to repossess something, if the person is in an active bankruptcy, you do not want to co-sign for anything. You want to stand clear of that. Wait until the dust settles. Wait until the bottom falls out. Wait until, as a matter of fact, you don't have to wait for anything. You're not in that situation. You are not going to be entangled when someone is already trying to get untangled. Let me repeat. You are not going to be entangled when someone else is trying to get untangled. So to co-sign or not to co-sign, that is the question. The answer is no under these circumstances. I'm going to give you one last no. If the person does not have a plan to put themselves in a better situation in the future, I'm going to say this across the board. Even after you assess that the person has the ability to pay, you've assessed that they will pay, they are no longer a stranger, even if it's your child and you're doing the kitty condo, let's say you have a backup plan in case they can't pay the bill. You've got a way to either pay the bill or liquidate the debt. Maybe you'll take the car. Maybe the car has some equity. Maybe the piece of property has some equity. You can sell it, get some of your money out of it, whatever the case may be. I'm going to say that you press the envelope a little further. I'm going to say that you ask, what is your plan? And if they don't have a plan, you can go to LynnMillionaire.com. You can contact my office. You can attach yourself or associate yourself with the members of the Lynn's List and help them and yourself get a plan. You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable right here on WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation. I gotta go, but I'm gonna talk to you tomorrow and I've got some hot new topics. It's Lynn Richardson. I love you. Follow me at Lynn Millionaire, LynnMillionaire.com. It's WVON. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at asklynn.org because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. I'm not sure.